Thank the Lord for granting us a sumptuous break. We have a hymn before we start. Number 13, Deeper, Deeper. Number 13, Deeper, Deeper. Let us arise to sing. Deeper, Deeper. The love of Jesus daily let me go higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day. And wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and his perfect will. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though it cause hard trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the love of God, of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, higher, every day in Jesus, till all conflict past, finds me conqueror, and in his own image, perfected at last. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and fuller every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, precious holy word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy sustenance, the sustaining grace upon thy people. Thank thee that we can be gathered together. And indeed it is by thy appointment that we are found in thy house, meditating upon thy word. May thou reveal thy holy will to us, and grant us the strength, the grace to obey it for thy own honor and glory, to our eternal blessing. Strengthen thy people. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Apostle Paul tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because we have an adversary, the enemy against which we need God's strength and armor, is Satan the devil, because he is God's enemy. He is our enemy. And the only way he can attack God is through us. We can therefore be sure that he will seek us out and attack us with his schemes. That's the meaning of that word there. The wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. The word there is an interesting word that forms or helps us to form our English word method. Method. Methodia. And the word means schemes. It carries the idea of craftiness. It carries the idea of cunning and deception. Ephesians 4 verse 14 says that we therefore be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So the people of God need to realize the methods, the schemes by which the enemy works, and Satan's weapon. Right, we know the word of God tells us, right, that the wiles of the devil, that he's a very subtle person. He's a person. And he uses devices, all kinds of trickery. And Satan's main weapon is lies. Lies. Revelation 12 verse 9 says, and the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. How is he so powerful to deceive the whole world? And it's repeated several times in the book of Revelation. He's cast out of the earth as in angels, and his angels were cast out with him. And Jesus points out to the scribes and the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil. John 8 verse 44. And the lust of your father ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And so he tempted Adam and Eve. Right at the beginning, in God's perfect paradise, by tempting them to question the word of God. Now the serpent, Genesis 3 verse 1, says, was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? He tempted Adam and Eve to question the word of God. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the garden, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yea, hath God said?
So first he questions the word of God. And not only that, but he also denies the word of God. Genesis 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. But what does the word of God says to Adam and Eve? In the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2, verse 17. To die you shall die. You shall surely die. But what did the serpent say to the woman? Ye shall not surely die. And Genesis 5 is a testimony that Satan is a liar. Genesis 5 is a description. We said the halls of death, right? So-and-so begets so-and-so, and he died. He died. So, who do we trust? Do you see there the impact, the effect? Genesis 5 verse 1 says, this is the generation, the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the image of God made he him, male and female created he them and blessed them, and called their name Adam, and in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had gotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Adam lived, were 930 years, and he died. To die you shall die. You shall surely die. But what did Satan say to Adam and Eve? Ye shall not surely die. Genesis 3 verse 4. So you see here that he's a master deceiver. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Satan is a spiritual being. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. This is what we can touch. Flesh and blood. We have a body. Right? But Satan is not flesh and blood. So he says here that we wrestle not. We wrestle not. The word there speaks of the believer's struggle against evil forces, the conflict, the fight. And we want us to see how great was that impact. It was paradise lost. Wrecked. The first family wrecked. Destroyed. They were in paradise. God gave them the good. But they were tempted. And because they were tempted and they were not strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, they fell. They fell. And how great was that fall? And so the Lord wants us to know that He's not only subtle and scheming, but also He's a spiritual being. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter described his encounter with the adversary. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The term was often used of a wild animal who cunningly stalked and then unexpectedly pounced on its prey. Satan's evil schemes are built around stealth and deception. So he will come to you and he will attack. When Satan wanted to lead the first man and woman into sin, what did he do? He started by attacking the woman's mind. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. It says here, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Why should Satan want to attack our mind? Because it is that part of the image of God which communicates with us and reveals his will to us. So you see here how the attack first comes to the mind and how important it is that we have the wherewithal to overcome. So Paul says in Colossians 3 verse 10 that we are to be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ. And he also tells us in the book of Ephesians, verse chapter 4 and verse 17, before we are saved, we walked in the vanity of our minds, our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Our hearts were blind through the ignorance. And we give ourselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But after we come to Christ, we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Ephesians 4 verse 23 and 24. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here our mind is attacked and we need to fortify our minds. So Paul also says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? It is through the Word of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we take time to pray, take time to study the Word of God, meditate upon it, pray over it, he reveals to us his perfect will, what he wants us to do. God renews our lives by renewing our minds. And so Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We need the word of God to counter the lies of Satan. And it is only by way of his word that we can stand the onslaught of the enemy. So if he can make us believe a lie, then he can lead us into sin. That's why he attacks the mind. And therefore, we need to protect our mind from the attacks of the wicked one. What comes in? He wants us to watch the eye gate, the ear gate, what we feel, our physical senses are the ways by which the enemy can attack us. And so we are to realize how gloriously and wonderfully made we are, that we are by God, that our mind is such a wonderful creation of God. It is able to store facts, images. Well, your handphone has how many gigabytes of storage space, and you can store image. Likewise, your mind, it is able to store images, impressions that we have many, many years back. God gave us this exalted faculty. And he attacks the mind. Therefore, we are to protect our mind. You recall last year when we met in our camp, we were studying Philippians 4:8. And we were meditating upon God's word. And it says, finally, brethren, again, Paul says, finally. All his teachings culminate. That was Philippians, right? Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So if it's not true, don't let it affect you. Don't let it come into you. For as a man thinks, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. And so Satan knows the great, tremendous power of our mind, and he tries to capture it for himself. Right? We saw in our video earlier that we are in a pivotal age, whereby they are able to attack the mind in a very invasive way. Invasive way. But in the Lord, we are protected. Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. The mind that is stayed upon the Lord. How can we be strong in the Lord? Is that the mind be stayed in the Lord. Isaiah 26 verse 3. So Satan is a created being. But he wanted to be worshipped and served like the Creator. And that is why he rebelled against God. And that is why he said to Adam and Eve, ye shall be as gods. When you eat the fruit from this tree, your eyes shall be opened. This was one great lie that has been controlling the fallen humanity. And you see in Genesis 4, the descendants of Cain. In Genesis 5, you see the descendants of the godly line. Right? So-and-so begets so-and-so, and he died. right, the godly line. But in Genesis 4, you see the ungodly line, the descendants of Cain, who built cities and a name for themselves. Well, that's where they led to the Tower of Babel, right, when God had to scatter them by confounding their languages. Satan desires worship and service, but our Lord Jesus will not give it to him. He tempted the Lord in the wilderness, and again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. It was the same for Moses. It was the throne of Egypt. Here, you see the Lord's response. Thus saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Man is seeking to build for himself a world, a utopian world, not only on earth, but outside earth, go to outer space. So you see how the enemy attacks, Satan attacks, and Eve is not strong in the word. So she was tossed when she was attacked. She began to take away from God's word. She said, in Genesis 3 verse 2, we may eat of the trees, of the fruit of the trees. But God said in Genesis 2 verse 17, thou mayest freely eat. That means all the trees you can eat. So many of them. Freely eat. God doesn't constrain us. But here, Eve constrained herself, isn't it? It is said that the commandment of God is not burdensome. But light. Jesus says, my yoke is light. My burden is easy. The commandments of God are not grievous. 1 John 5:3. And you would see Satan come in disguise. He masqueraded himself as a serpent. Jesus says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. Jesus used the serpent. The serpent has the reputation of being wise. Wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And so the snake has that picture of wisdom. And so Satan came, hiding behind the Satan, the serpent, to tempt Adam and Eve. And you see here that the Lord wants us to realize and see how subtle is the enemy, how shrewd, how cunning. Do not underestimate. And what is the purpose of Satan's attacks? is to derail us from obeying the will of God, the blessings of God in our lives. He seeks to, tempts to pull us away. And therefore, it's important that we know His purpose, why He's doing that, so that we may not be blessed of God, God's purpose for our lives. And so how can we be protected? As believers, we want to walk in the center of God's will because we know that that's the best for us. But He comes to ensnare us. This is what it means, the wiles of the devil. And so we have to go back to know what the will of God is, to understand the will of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 115, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. In other words, he is convicted in his heart to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Psalm 119, verse 105. The psalmist says, "I will delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Psalm 40, verse 8. "Thy law is within my heart. I will delight to do thy will." So you see, if he can attack your mind, he would want to attack so that you would change course. God's will for you. "But the counsel of the Lord standeth sure." Paul says in his missionary journey, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and should hear the voice of his mouth." That we should know his will. Paul speaks so that he may exhort the church to know the will of God. And that's the cause of his preaching. Colossians 1 verse 9. Will you turn there? Colossians 1 verse 9. "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul prayed for the church in Colossae. We need to pray that Christ may be formed in us. God's duty or God's will is the believer's delight. The Christian delights to discover the will of God and to obey it from his heart, because the will of God is his nourishment. So Paul says, he fervently prayed for the church, that the church may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. God has a purpose for his people. And we are created of God, chosen by the Father, and purchased by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Chosen by the Father, that we may know who we are, the people of God, purchased by the Son, in close, intimate fellowship with the Godhead, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, kept for eternal glory. That's how Paul began the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. He spoke of the origin of the church, who we are, and where we are going. There's a purpose by which God led Israel out of Egypt, and they are to move forward. So is the church. When Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, he gave the doctrines. He showed them the way to walk. And then he asked them that they need the power of God to help them to walk successfully. And so, how can we be protected? It is by God's inspired and preserved word. It is our only defense to reveal the word of God and to defeat the lies of Satan. And so, what must we do? We must know God's word. That is why last year we had that message, how to meditate upon God's word. You recall during the church camp, meditate upon God's word, how to dwell upon it, how to chew upon it, how to think upon it. Let it sink into our, from the mind to the heart, and let it convert the will. So we must take time to read and study the Bible, take time and find time to memorize God's word. Psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slight. Psalm 37, verse 31. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps will slight. Moses said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do we sincerely delight in the word of God? Do we know that it is for our very life? Adam and Eve was complacent, we say. They were not watchful. How great was the fall? So you see, Satan attacks the mind and attacks the will And we cannot attack the mind, cannot attack the will, it will attack your body. That's what we see in Job's life. He cannot deceive you. He will destroy your body. He devours. Job lost the fruit of his body, his children. He lost the means to sustain his body, his flocks, his herds, his wealth. He lost the health of his body. He contracted a loathsome disease. His friends sat in silence for a week. He was in great agony. His wife was so overwhelmed by her husband's trials that she suggested to him, curse God and die. So Satan did a very thorough job, isn't it, to attack Job's body and everything that is related to it. And you would see in the Gospels how the devil attacks the body and how the Lord delivered them. By the gospel. And we know amongst people in our midst, right, those who have been attacked, right, by the devil, relatives, friends, and how the Lord delivered them from the snares. So Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are hierarchies of evil. It's organized. How deep it is, we cannot really fathom. Because it is it's spiritual. There is a physical organization, as we saw earlier. And how can you identify it? By the word of God, isn't it? You see that they are totally against God and his word. How frightening. And we have to realize that God uses our body as a vehicle to reveal himself to a lost world. So people read not the Bible, but they read our lives, not our theology. So Satan attacks the body, the means by which God would reveal his grace and love to a lost world. And it is correct, isn't it? Logical. Because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of God. And so Paul says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the last thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans 6, verse 12 to 13. God had to use Noah and his family to build the ark. There are those whom God called, skilled, to build the temple, the tabernacle. Jesus used the disciples' hands to distribute the bread and the fish. And Satan knows that he can hinder God's work by attacking your body, to cost it to be compromised. And this body is the treasury of God. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He put this treasure of eternal life within our body. And the devil attacks the body by causing us to suffer. Suffering. When he touched the body and he creates suffering. You see, in Job's life, we spent about 2 years or so, 2.5 years studying the book of Job. All the 42 chapters. And you can see how his life became so miserable. Great pain he had to endure. It's as if God had forsaken him. But Job maintained his faith in God and was honored at the end of his trials. So we need to know that when the attack comes, God is still on the throne. God gave permission. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." So when he comes and he attacks, he causes suffering to you, and causes you to murmur and complain, to go out of the will of God, that's his purpose. To make us very impatient to God's will. It's as if we are climbing a high mountain. You have to reach there, but your body is already very tired. And you climb, because it was slippery, you fall. Then you fall and you have to climb again. You climb up and you are very tired. Then you fall again. Then you have to climb again. Then you fall again. Then you have to climb again. So you ask yourself, how many times do I have to climb to reach there? But that's God's will. James 5, verse 11. Turn there. James 5, verse 11. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job." The word hupomone describes difficult circumstances. Patience during the time of adverse situations. And there's another word for patience, metlotumeo, another word that describes patience with people. So God tries us through people, as Job's friends did, and God tries us through difficult circumstances. "Ye have heard of the patience of difficult circumstances of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." What did God give back to him after his trial? Double, isn't it, of everything, right? He didn't lose his 10 children, first 10 children. God gave him another 10, right? The rest of the things got doubled. He didn't lose the 10. God was faithful. And so, God, Satan's purpose is to get Job to become impatient and give up. James says in James 1, verse 2 to 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and that patience have her, let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Impatience is a mark of unbelief. Restlessness and nervousness, anxiousness in not trusting God to work. Brethren, my brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Can God help you in the midst of your trials? God wants us to believe that He will. And therefore, we are to have faith. The trials increase, the faith must increase proportionately. And we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Patience. Patience is a mark of immaturity and unbelief. Fleshly living. Galatians 5 verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." That's the word use. And the old nature is impatient. But the new nature that God produced within us, used to the Spirit of God, is patient, it's not impulsive. We are not living in the energy of the flesh, but by the sway of the Holy Spirit. So impatience can be very costly. Abraham couldn't wait. And he took Hagar. Then came Ishmael. It was trouble, great trouble for the family. He had to wait another 14 years before God gave Isaac. How Isaac brought so much joy and blessing to the family. So patience, endurance is an enriching spiritual virtue. Satan will tempt us. But God wants to bring the best out of us. Job says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job 23 verse 10. And what is our defense against the attack of the evil one, the wiles of the devil? Is by the grace of God, God's imparted grace. When the Apostle Paul was attacked, he says, "Satan buffeted me. I had a thorn in the flesh." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. "Three times I sought the Lord, that he might depart from me. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for thee. The grace of God that is given to us will give us the victory when Satan attacks us, attacks the body with suffering. Only by the grace of God we have a patient endurance we need to go through the furnace. So Peter says, "But the God of all grace, which hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." The God of all grace. God's provision of His grace. And also, when we are in trials, when Satan attacks us, let us do not forget to give thanks to God. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God allowed Job to be tried. And when Paul and Silas were in the prison at midnight, they sang praises to God. Not that they are happy in prison, but that they rested in the presence of God with them. Then came the earthquake, and the prison shook. And God used that incident to save the Philippian jailer. That's how the church in Philippi began. God has a purpose when He gives us trials. He allows Satan to buffet us. Satan is a defeated foe. He's an adversary. We know of his wiles, his methods, his schemes, his cunning, his ferociousness. But we also know how in the Lord He is defeated. He can be defeated. And the more we seek to obey the will of God, to implement Ephesians 1 to 6 verse 9, the more we will be the target for attack. And that's why Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit that we may do Thy holy will. Grant us the grace to endure. And Lord, grant us a restful spirit to thank Thee, whatever that comes upon us that Thou allows for Thy glory. Lord, strengthen Thy church. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.